You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, as well as Jason Stimpy JD Hernandez. Jason, when we were talking about this, we figured out that your audio is just a lot better than my audio. So
yeah.
Thank you for co-hosting, but essentially, thank you for, in a sense, hosting this as well.
You're very welcome. Can't wait to do this.
Nah, this is going to be a fun one. So for today's show, now, for those of you that, we're baseball fans. Jason and I are baseball fans. Even though we do report and we have a job to report and be, you know, accurate, and we don't want to speculate, we do have these conversations about speculating about what we feel is going to happen with certain things. And this is kind of what this show is about. We're going to talk about who we feel should be the manager of the teams with vacancies.
Why are you bringing up our personal life? We do this on our own.
It's like
they're coming into our personal lives right now.
Well, you know, that's just how life is.
So yeah.
Before we get into today's show, though, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. And you can follow Jason at Stimpy JD. Yes, like Ren and Stimpy. After that, you can make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Now, Jason, we do have breaking news. I've been taking the reins here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what this breaking news is? I'm sure a lot of people listening in already know what's happening or what has happened, but let's kind of reinforce it.
And for those of you that don't know what's happened, Mickey Callaway has been relieved of his duties from the New York Mets. He is fired, and now there is a managerial occupancy effective immediately.
Yeah, and we saw this coming, though. For some time, it seemed like it was very sensible that the New York Mets were going to let him go. Oh, my goodness. Keep that in the show. Don't edit that out. That was I swallowed my gum. Oh, goodness.
And 7 years from now, that gum will come out.
Thanks, man. Yeah, digestive tract. I did not think that we were going to be talking about my digestive tract or bowels on this show. Ever.
Oh, well, see, gosh. It relates to New York. See?
Ouch. So, yes, Mickey Callaway out with the Mets.
Because their team is in the crapper right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, but... Looking at all the injuries and, you know, how thin their depth is, the Mets need more of a change than just the manager.
Yeah. Well, it all starts with a few people with the last name Wilpon, but we'll get into that later. If you guys don't know Jason yet, this is Jason Hernandez. He goes by Stimpy JD on Twitter and in real life at times. Great friend of mine. He's the host of Locked On Ducks, Anaheim Ducks, that is. So if you want to cross Catella, you can check out that on the Locked On Podcast Network. For today's show, though, we are talking about these things that Jason and I have been chatting about for some time, and it's who's going to manage these team with vacancies. And we're going to do this where Jason and I go back and forth, and we're going to bring in a potential internal hire and a potential external hire. Now, Jason, I want to start off with the Chicago Cubs. Who is an internal hire and an external hire that you think could make sense for the Cubs?
Well, the internal hire that I chose is David Ross. He's beloved by the Cubs. He's a longtime catcher, and he knows how to work his pitching staff. I know we said the same thing about Brad Ausmus, and we kind of joked about that with the scouting report, that Brad Ausmus knows how to work his pitching staff. But I think David Ross was a very intelligent player and can be a very good managerial candidate for the Cubs. He's got that really good baseball IQ that most people like. So that's my pick.
And then
for that.
External hire?
External. Not too outside the box. But I think Joe Girardi would be an excellent addition to the Chicago Cubs. He has the experience. He has caught for the Cubs. If you remember from about 20 years ago, Joe Girardi was the guy that had to make the announcement to the Wrigley Field crowd when Daryl Kyle passed away. So already Joe Girardi is part of Wrigley Field lore. And I could see Girardi being a good fit in Chicago. They've got a good team there. They've got a good young squad. Javi Baez is there. Chris Bryant is there. I think Girardi could be the guy. But that's just my opinion.
See, now, I remember Joe Girardi as Cubs catcher. That's actually, when before he got the Yankees job, that was the guy that came to mind, was the Cubs catcher. I'm going to give you – and David Ross is essentially kind of – I guess you could even call him the front runner for this position. I'm going to go with the other guy that is a front runner and Mark Loretta. I think just someone that the Cubs trust, have a lot of faith in, that would make a lot of sense for them. The Jordan Bastion of MLB.com did mention that Mark Loretta, David Ross, and Will Venable would get interviews with the Cubs. They are kind of the front runners. Girardi makes a ton of sense. I'm going to go with someone a little different here. Someone that kind of fills in with Theo's perception of how baseball is, how the Cubs kind of want to run. And Joe Espada, the bench coach for the Houston Astros. Now, Joe Espada was a really popular name when it came to managerial searches last year. I think he's still a name that is very popular in a sense. And I think Theo Epstein would really work well with him. So that's going to be my guy. Joe Girardi's fantastic. And I think that he's going to make a team very happy wherever he goes. Jason, we're going to move on to one that when you and I were talking about this, we kind of had to like string together names.
Yeah.
And it's, I want you to explain it, because we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. And you mentioned something to me. Why don't you bring up what needs to go on with the Pittsburgh Pirates and then give me your internal and external hires?
To be honest, the Pittsburgh Pirates need to go through a complete change because they got rid of a lot of their coaching staff. You know, once Clint Hurdle got fired, the other dominoes seemed to fall. But they've got a clean house, and it needs to start on the top as well, because, you know, the Pirates have had a long drought save for those three seasons, all the way back to 93. They had a long playoff drought, and the way they're constructed right now from the top, they've got to make some changes, possibly on the GM position, possibly the entire coaching staff. But it's not just that. The players, too. They also need a clean house in their minor league system. I know you and I have talked about the Pirates consistently having one of the lower-rated farm systems in all of baseball, right?
Yeah, and just you need a new development staff. This is a horrendous development staff. They can't – I mean, Austin Meadows, look at what he's doing in Tampa. Shane Batt, the list goes on and on. Pittsburgh cannot develop right now.
No.
And that doesn't start with the manager, but it can't help that if you bring in a manager that knows how to develop, it helps. But regardless –
no, clean house, start from scratch. You've got to get some better staff there. I want to go with my pick for the Pittsburgh Pirates, or my two picks. And my internal pick is going to be Jose Cora, who has had some minor league experience. And Jose Cora has a famous brother that, or I guess famous relative, that does manage. And he's done pretty well.
Won a World Series.
Yeah, he did pretty well. And I think Taylor and I have the same pick for an external candidate for the Pirates, and we've talked about him on the show, Jason Kendall.
The greatest catcher of all time.
Wow. Of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Quote me on it. Greatest catcher of all time. I love Jason Kendall. I was a huge Jason Kendall fan growing up.
Yogi Berra wants a word with you.
Yeah, so does Johnny Bench, and so does... He Mike, wasn't even as good as Mike Socha was.
Mike Piazza wants a word with you.
Mike Piazza's not that great.
Anyway, Jason Kendall was one of the greatest catchers of all time. I'll say one of the greatest catchers. Kind of underrated. He was stellar with the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the day. He does have some experience. He was looked at fairly recently, so I don't see why Jason Kendall wouldn't be a great candidate.
Yeah, I don't either. He's not my external pick, even though I did bring him up. My external pick is Jay Bell. He's done such great things with the Yankees organization as a minor league coach. He knows how to develop, and that's the biggest problem there. Pittsburgh's biggest problem is not development. It's ownership. It's horrendous ownership in Pittsburgh. But if you can
bring
in a
manager from the top, like I said, from the top.
Yes, from the very top. And this isn't reflecting on the front office even for me. I mean, yeah, you need better development staff. But no, I think Jay Bell, it would be a fantastic pick. Did pretty well with the Pirates not that long ago. So that's my guy. For in-house, honest to God, I couldn't think of anyone. So I just got Brian Esposito, their AAA coach or manager. But I just – you have to go external. Like you said, you have to go external. Bring in someone that's very likable. Jay Bell is definitely my guy. And Jason Kendall's not a bad pick. But
I want to bring up a quote that Jason Kendall said earlier this week. He wants the Pirates job. And I'll even quote him. This is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Quote, "There's something that I owe to the city of Pittsburgh. I truly believe that. And that's why I would be interested in sitting down and seriously talking about it." End quote. And I know that Kendall doesn't have managerial experience per se. He was a special assignment coach. He does have some experience. So, I mean, I would like to see this trend continuing of hiring managers without any experience. Because we talked about Brad Ausmus, didn't work. Aaron Boone, that's fine. Walt Weiss recently, Mike Matheny recently, we'll talk about him later. So there's kind of this trend of having coaches without experience. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Just got to roll the dice, man.
Just real quick, we have some breaking news that may change your Mets internal option. Jim Riggleman was let go just now.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the Mets. With the Mickey Callaway news, we kind of want to give ourselves a little bit of time to think on it. But yeah, this is kind of interesting. We are going to get to the Mets in the second segment. But I do want to touch on the Kansas City Royals. Now, Jason, you mind if I take this one?
Go for it.
See, now, my career started with Pedro Grifol as the first manager I worked with. I worked in the minors. Pedro Grifol was the first guy that came that was the manager for the High Desert Mavericks in 2012. I watched him be analytically inclined. He was very smart. He also was a very old school guy. You know, he would do the hit and run. He would make the contact play. He would bunt to move the runner. He's a very old school guy with an analytical approach. He has history with the Royals, won a ring with them as a hitting coach. I think that this is a lock. I mean, for me personally, if I was picking, Pedro Grifol is not even – I wouldn't interview anyone else. I would just say, yep, job's yours. What do you want? What do you want to make? Okay, well, that's how we're going to haggle. They're going to bring in – I don't know if you're going to say this guy or not, so I won't say it. But, no, Pedro Grifol should be the Royals manager, and I will stand by that to the end. As for an external guy, actually, it's another Kansas City catcher, their former catcher, and it's Sal Fasano, of all people. And I didn't tell you that, Jason, but
no, I'm surprised.
He has managerial experience, had success. He's a catching instructor for the Braves right now. Sal Fasano is one of the most knowledgeable men in baseball, and he's also someone the players love to play for. Those are my two guys. Sal Fasano, though, I mean, I could bring his name up for every job as an external candidate outside of the Braves, who aren't getting rid of Snitker. But no, Pedro Grifol is it for me. What about for you?
For me, I think my internal has to be Dale Sfame, who's the bench coach right now for the Kansas City Royals.
That is not who I thought you were going to say. So for
My internal would be Dale Sfame. What were you going to say?
Right. No, I said that I don't think that Dale or Pedro would get it. I think they're both great internal options, but I think they're going to give it to Mike Matheny, who is a complete waste of a manager. We saw that in St. Louis. He's terrible. He's not meant for this game right now. He was good at one time. He's not good for the game now, and I hope they don't give it to Matheny, but I think that's who is going to end up with the job.
I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. The way that he kind of made the Cardinals implode, and you know, how they have Mike Schilt now shows you how great a manager Schilt is, but it also shows you that Mike Matheny did not utilize his team the best way. When you got guys like Molina and Carpenter on your team, and Bader and Flaherty, the Cardinals should have done better under Matheny. Now, I agree Absolutely. That that's probably who they might go with, but they've got to look at Dale Sfame. You know, he was hired to manage the Cubs back in 2012 during their rebuild. That was a Theo Epstein move back then with the Cubs. But when they let Sfame go, Sfame was criticized for slow development. And it's kind of a shame because Anthony Rizzo is a great first baseman now. And I think Sfame did a fantastic job developing him. But, you know, he didn't give sabermetrics that much of a chance. And his bullpen management wasn't the best back then. But I would still give Dale Sfame at least an interview. And someone else that I'd give an interview with is, now, Angel fans, you're going to love this name, Darren Erstad.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I bringing him up?
He would make sense.
He would make sense. He was recently a collegiate manager. He had some success there. In fact, he turned around that Nebraska baseball program.
rebuilt it. I mean, fantastic job with Nebraska.
Oh, for sure. So I don't see why the Royals wouldn't at least give him a phone call. That's just my take on that.
Well, yeah, and when we were talking about you, when we talk about Darren, he's from that region.
Yes, he is. So he'd be close to home, too. Again, why not at least give him a shout? That's all I'm saying.
Now, Jason, we've got four more teams, potentially five, depending on what the Phillies do, but we don't have that information yet, so we're going to leave the Phillies for is the case. But we do have to head to a break. Before we head to our break, though, we got to talk about Breaking Tea. Now, Breaking Tea is a t-shirt company that ties in passion moments to sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tea jumps on the moment to make t-shirts that make the moment live forever. Maybe you want a Yandy Diaz two-run home run t-shirt from last night. They can do that. So when these moments happen, we're going to join in with Breaking Tea to make these t-shirts available to our listeners through www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. Should be a lot of fun, great for the host, great for you, the listeners, and I cannot wait to get some shirts out when it comes to the Angels. And once again, you want to check that out. It's www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone.
That's just cruel, Stimpy. That's just mean.
It's fitting.
It's a little Freddie Mercury and Queen bringing us into the second segment. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward and Stimpy JD, who, Jason, man, that's rough.
But it works. I mean, another manager bit the dust this morning. You see what I did there?
I see exactly you did. That's cruel. For what we're doing for today's show, if you're tuning in for the first segment, tuning in to the second segment, we're giving internal and external hires for each team that has a managerial vacancy. This is just something that Jason and I talk about. You know, we call each other and we talk about this, so we're just bringing it to the show. When we're talking about another one that bites the dust, oh my gosh, the New York Mets let go of Mickey Callaway this morning. And also, just a few minutes ago, they got rid of Jim Riggleman, the bench coach. So, Jason, I'm going to have you lead off with this one. The New York Mets, an internal hire when it comes to the New York Mets that apparently is not Jim Riggleman.
Okay, get ready for this one. My internal hire for the Mets would be Gary DeSarcina. Yes, the former Angel Gary DeSarcina. He is a bench coach. He moved to third base last season, and he was the bench coach for the Red Sox when they won the division back in 2017. So, I mean, he's got some experience. He knows how to be on a winning team because he spent some time as a player, coach, and manager for the Red Sox. And he also managed the Paw Sox, or the Pawtucket Sox, of AAA back in 2013. And he's had winning records almost everywhere he's went. And he was even named Baseball America's Minor League Manager of the Year in 2013. He has the experience. He has had success. I don't see why he wouldn't get at least more than a phone call, maybe a very long interview.
I like that. See, now, you got to remember, this is a Wilpon organization with Brody Van Wagen at the helm, in a sense. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about what agent from CAA could make a manager. It seems that the Mets it's something the Mets kind of would do with the Wilpons at the helm, is bring in a namesake, if they could, to be the manager, whether that's a Matheny, a Girardi, even a Socha. For an external hire, though, if they really want to be smart and creative about this, I came up with two names, and one is one that you've probably never heard of, but sticking with the college scene, Dave Van Horn of Arkansas. And what he's done really fits the mold of what the Mets are. I love the concept of bringing Dave Van Horn in. Now, I don't know if Dave Van Horn wants to leave Arkansas. I don't know, you know, if this is something that he would do. But when it comes to just really talented managers and guys that could develop, guys that know pitching staffs, how to handle them, Dave Van Horn is fantastic. But I got to say, you know, Carlos Beltran came to mind. I think Ken Rosenthal is the one that brought it up. Carlos Beltran, someone that everyone would want to play for. Mets legacy is enough to stand the test of time. One of the greatest switch hitting Latin-born players is bilingual. That's why I can't even be so lingual.
Wow.
It's singular lingual, man.
I hermano.
Yeah, no kidding. I even speak Spanish, and that was horrendous.
My last name is Hernandez. Come on, Ese.
Carlos Beltran would be fantastic. As for internal, a guy that everyone wants to play for, everyone wants to play with, wants to play for, part of this Mets coaching staff / front office staff is David Wright. You could argue he's one of the greatest Met. He is Mr. Met, Captain America, the works. David Wright is someone that, I don't know about, he has no managerial experience.
I mentioned on the last segment, we're starting to see a trend where people are being hired that have no experience in the past. So
absolutely. And if anyone knows the Mets philosophy, it's David Wright. So, that's going to be my internal hire. Let's move on though. The San Francisco Giants. Now this is a team that, we've got three straight California teams to close it out. All teams that we're very familiar with, the San Francisco Giants. You and I, when we were talking about this, it was very obvious who both of us kind of picked as an internal candidate. Why don't you lead it off?
Oh, this is very obvious for me. There's a very obvious hire for me for both of us, and it's Hansley Mullins for the San Francisco Giants. He's been a longtime coach. He has the experience. He is due. He is overdue for a managing job. And he did a fantastic job being the backup man for the just-retired Bruce Bochy. And Mullins knows how to win. He's had that championship pedigree before. You know, the Giants just won 3 championships in this decade. I'm not going to go so far as saying that makes the Giants the team of the decade because, well, obvious reasons. But Mullins is my guy. By far.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I don't think I have to – I think you said everything that I needed to say. He's the guy. He's the guy that's in place, internal. It all makes sense. Farhan Zaidi, I believe, has a great relationship with him. I don't see how this could be – I don't want to say it's obvious because nothing's really obvious in baseball. But if there was an obvious pick for a new manager with a certain team, I think Hensley Mullins is a very obvious one. Which leads us to, if it's not Hensley and they go external, what direction are you going with this?
Okay, go with me on this. We might agree on this. Omar Vizquel.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I disagree after a minute. Why don't you say about Omar
Okay, Vizquel? So Omar Vizquel is, again, one of those very intelligent players that has had some experience, you know, beloved in San Francisco. And I don't see why the Giants would go with anyone but Omar Vizquel. So Taylor, why anyone but Omar Vizquel? Who would you go with?
How analytically inclined is Omar Vizquel? Do you believe?
Okay.
And this is the only reason why. Yeah, obviously Omar Vizquel is Giants. You know, there's a lot to it when it comes to how good he's been with the Giants organization, things like this. But how analytically inclined is he to work with Farhan Zaidi?
Okay, that's a good point. He is definitely an old school guy. He's more of an instincts kind of guy. I see where you're going there.
Yeah, and that's no disrespect to Omar Vizquel, but I just don't see how Farhan Zaidi and him would connect that way. I've got 4 names that came to mind when it came to this. I know that Raul Ibanez is one of those guys that I have listed, and he would make sense. And I feel like Raul Ibanez could fit anywhere. Andy Green, another one. But I think if Farhan Zaidi is going to bring in one of his guys and not go with Hensley Mullins, it's going to be a Dodgers guy that he brought in. Now, Dino Ebel it came to mind as well, but Dino Ebel wasn't really someone that Farhan brought in necessarily. Bob Guerin. I think Bob Guerin is a candidate there. I think that he's someone that Farhan has trust in. I think that the Giants ownership really has shown some trust in Farhan, and I think that this decision really is going to come down to something along these lines. But in reality, Hensley Mullins, how can it not be him, right?
Exactly. He's well overdue for that job. Let's go
way down the 5.
To the Padres.
Yeah, let's go to from San Francisco to San Diego, 8-hour drive down the 5.
Well,
maybe even more, right?
Not for me, man.
Oh, Jeff Gordon over here.
I mean, we both love racing. Anyway, I hope no cops are listening.
Why don't you go on with that? I made a comment today that I think you would understand. It was what is like the weirdest concept of a fan liking another fan base or whatever? And it was like, you know, Angels fans liking the Kings or Ducks fans liking the Dodgers or whatever.
You'd be surprised.
Brad Keselowski fans that like Kyle Busch Motorsports. I don't think there are any.
Can't do that to me, man.
That's like, oh gosh. Okay, so San Diego Padres. We've moved down the 5, couple hours. You drive fast. You haul ass down the 5. Who is an in-house hire? Now, I feel like we both kind of came. I came up with a wild card here because I think I know who you're going to talk about, because I think it's very obvious who the in-house option is going to be for the San Diego Padres.
There was a couple names that I had, and one of them that I'm going to bring up is Glenn Hoffman, who's the third base coach of the Padres. You know, he had a long playing career. He was the bullpen coach for the Dodgers back in 99. And, you know, he's had some minor league managing experience back in the early 90s.
That is not who I thought you were going to say.
I mean, it might be the other name. Who are you going to say?
Well, this isn't my pick because I wanted to be a wild card here. But Rod Barajas, it's his job to lose, right?
See, and I knew you'd say that name, which is why I didn't say it.
See, that's not the name I came up with because I wanted to be the wild card. I thought you came up with Rod Barajas because of the other reasons.
All right, Taylor. So since we talked about Rod Barajas for a split second, if you want to talk about Rod Barajas, go ahead. But who's your wild card?
Philip Wellman.
Ooh. Why?
You want to talk about someone that's going to that can connect with these young guys on this Padres team and be a part of that and understand them, have a full concept of what the Padres' philosophy is. And I'm not taking this away from Rod Barajas because he's a similar candidate to Philip Wellman. But no, that is my wild card. Dominant minor league manager, not only has a winning philosophy, but also has a developmental approach. Give me Philip Wellman, man.
Wellman's a good choice. I like Rod Barajas. I think we both liked Rod Barajas, but we talked ourselves out of it right now.
Right.
Which is strange to say.
We have not touched on the external option, though.
Nope, and I got two for the Padres, and we mentioned this name already, Dino Ebel. I think Dino Ebel would be a decent external candidate for the Padres. But another name that I really like, I mean, really like, he's already beloved in San Diego. He's played for the Padres before. Phil Nevin.
You jerk.
Why? Why am I a jerk?
That was mine.
Phil Nevin.
At least we agree, right?
Of course we agree. See, that's why we're here.
okay.
No, I like Phil Nevin a lot.
Riddle me why Phil Nevin.
Well, he was the third base coach for the Giants for at least a season, and the Yankees hired him as a third base coach, and Phil Nevin is looking to manage because he was manager of the Toledo Mud Hens back earlier this decade, and that was in AAA ball. I think Phil Nevin's ready. I think he's ready to manage in the major leagues.
All right. That's
he lives in Southern California already.
He does. I'm frustrated that you took my guy, and I don't want to say anything. I've got to like come up with another external option somewhere.
And I had two. I'm sorry.
You have two. Yeah. Right. No kidding. What a jerk. What a real jerk.
I mean, we should just move on to the Angels, shouldn't we? Since this is Locked On Angels.
No. I'll figure it out, and I'll come up with a. Well, I mean, Mike Socha is one that Mike Socha is kind of one of those guys that is a potential option here. And it's been mentioned that he could fit in. I don't see it fitting as well as Phil Nevin as an exterior option. I want to give you this, though. Phil Nevin, so my first baseball game was at Old Qualcomm, which is now, no, it was Jack Murphy then. I don't even think it's Qualcomm anymore, is it?
No, it's, see, we're showing our age here because, you know, my first baseball game in San Diego was also at Jack Murphy Stadium. And I can even go back further. Remember Rod Beck? That's who I saw pitching many years in San Diego. Oh, and by the way, the new stadium name is SDCCU Stadium, formerly known as the Q, formerly known as the Murph. But right
see,
now
I yeah, it's the Q or the Jack or the Murph.
Who the hell called totally it the digressing. Jack?
Everyone, dude.
Everyone the called Jack. It the Murph.
But all right, well, you know, you can complain all you want, but for me, when I had my first baseball game at the Jack, I got tossed a baseball. And you'll never guess who threw me a baseball.
Who threw you a baseball?
Phil Nevin. So see, I age myself calling it the Jack or the Murph or the Q, whatever it is. But I also age myself. I underage myself saying that Phil Nevin threw me a baseball in my first baseball game. So, I think we've kind of capitalized on the Padres here.
Yes, we have.
Let's go to. Obviously, this is Locked On Angels. We saved the Angels for last. This, and I want to make this a heavy note. I want to make this a very important and vital note to the listeners. This is not reporting. This is us talking about who we think should be the manager. This has nothing to do with any real reporting, any real interviews, anything like this. Do not take this outside of anything of our own opinion. That said, Jason, give me an internal and an external candidate for the Angels.
Don't take this as gospel, but I think who the Angels should look at internally is Mike Gallego. And this is without question because he's a third base coach. You know, he replaced Dino Ebel. He's had experience as third base and infield coach. And he's been under the tutelage of Soch for a while. He was also the third base coach in Oakland, who had many trips to the postseason back in the early 2010s. So I don't see why the Angels wouldn't give him at least some shot.
Fair, fair. And an external one?
I've also got two names external. One of them's obvious. One of them's not so obvious.
We both have the obvious.
Yeah. The non-obvious, we mentioned this name before, Bob Guerin. I think Guerin might be a good second choice for the Angels that we talked about recently.
Yeah, I see no problem with that. The only thing that I think that is different here is the Angels, they kind of do like the younger crowd a little bit. They like a younger face. Nothing against Bob.
No, not at all.
But no, I think Bob Guerin's going to get a spot, and I think he's a fantastic. I think he's a fantastic coach. Can't wait to see what he can do as a manager. But that's not a bad pick.
All right, who's your internal pick?
My internal pick?
Yeah.
Eric Chavez. And I'll fight you on that one. I mean, I'll physically fight someone. I mean, no, Eric
Chavez. We've played hockey before. That might happen.
we have. Chavi, man. I think Eric Chavez is fantastic. I think he fits the philosophy that the Angels want to preach. I think that he is someone that is that has a lot of faith and trust from the front office. I just don't know if ownership's going to go with someone like that. Another guy that I think would be fantastic is Lou Marson, who's their AAA manager. But external, Joe Maddon.
We both have that name, obviously.
Right, and for more than obvious reasons. Ownership would be happy. Fan base would be happy. Front office seems that they'd be happy. Players love playing for Joe. It's very obvious that Joe Maddon would be the kind of guy that would make a sense. Another very obvious choice, Joe Girardi. One of those guys that I think is very interesting. But outside of the obvious, I'm going to go back to Joe Espada. Joe Espada did get an interview last year. One of those guys that the Angels, someone that understands what the Angels are preaching. And that to me is kind of something that's very important with a manager. I don't know. See, now I've talked to Joe, but I don't know if the players love Joe, if they don't love Joe. I don't know those things. But yeah, how can it not be Joe Maddon, right? But
oh,
no,
exactly.
Eric Chavez, and I will preach that to the day I die, man. Eric Chavez is going to be one of the greatest managers of all time.
For those of you listening, forward your comments to @TaylorBlakeWard, not me.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Jason, this was a lot of fun, man.
That was fun.
I hope you had fun. Yeah, and for those of you listening, I hope you had fun listening to us ramble on about our opinions that mean absolutely nothing in the sense of time. this was a great show. So thank you for listening. You want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at Locked On Angels. As Jason said, my name is Taylor Blake Ward. You can follow me on Twitter at Taylor Blake Ward. Send all your complaints there. If you have excess complaints, you can send them to Jason at StimpyJD. And make sure to download today's show through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app. You can also subscribe to our show via all those outlets. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Jason, you going anywhere in the near future?
I'm going to Anaheim in the near future.
Hey, you know what? They have hotels in Anaheim. Why don't you check out Hotels.com and get rewarded basically anywhere, which can be Anaheim. Jason, I did want to bring you on the show. I've wanted to do this for a while. Locked On Ducks. Locked On Anaheim Ducks. You are the new host. All you got to do is cross Catella or cross the Locked On Podcast Network platform. Tell us a little bit about Locked On Ducks.
Locked On Ducks is going to be your daily look into the Anaheim Ducks. And it's appropriate because the Ducks season starts tonight at the Pond as the Ducks take on the Coyotes yet again. But you can listen to Locked On Ducks every day on the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple, Google, all that stuff that Taylor mentioned. And be sure to subscribe to Locked On Ducks. And you can follow that at LO_Ducks. That's LO_DUCKS. So make sure to follow.
Did Sam Steele make the team?
Sam Steele made the team, but he is injured right now.
Man, I have no reason to watch. No.
Hey, and you know what? I did a whole recap on the roster, and I mentioned Sam Steele. I mentioned some of the players and where the lines should be. And today's show, I talked about some bold predictions. And there's a couple predictions that I made are pretty freaking bold. Just saying.
Well, I think I'm going to have to tune into Locked On Ducks during the winter. Just of note, for you that listen here at Locked On Angels, we are going to start cutting back our shows with the off season. We are going to continue doing our Sunday night Twitter question and answer, have shows on Mondays for you, but we are going to start cutting back our shows. So stay tuned to LockedOnAngels.com. Check out for new podcasts when they come out. Any newsworthy item is obviously going to have a podcast, but I want to thank you all for tuning in as the season continues into the off season. Hope you enjoy the playoffs. And Jason, any last words before we close out here?
Stay frosty.
Stay frosty. I love it. Stay frosty. Thanks again for tuning in. Thanks to Jason Hernandez for co-hosting. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim, or stay frosty if you're across Catella. We'll see you in the near future.